Deuteronomy 30:19. It's interesting. Let me just back up to verse 17. I could back up to 11, but I'm not going to. Deuteronomy 30, going to back up to verse 17. It says this, "But if your heart turns away." It's just important to note that because of what's coming afterwards. And I just want to bring that out a little bit. If your heart turns away. So, I mean, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. See, that verse is there for what's going to follow. I announce to you today, who is this announcement to? Those who would turn away. Those who would worship other gods. I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth. Now the subject matter changes a little bit. This here, we can grab a hold of this part. This next verse 19. How many of you are going to do what verse 17 talks about? Turn away and worship other gods. Amen? So we're not in that camp. Praise God. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth as a witness against you today that I have set before you, this is God talking, and he has set before us, what? Life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. Choose what? Choose life. Let me just take it a little bit farther. Do you think he would also tell us choose blessing? I think so. I don't think he would say, okay, choose life and cursing. I don't think that's what he's trying to convey to us. I think he's telling us, choose life, choose blessing. I've set them before you. This is what I want you to choose. This is what I want you to pick. Choose life. Choose blessing. Go ahead and say choose. Man, praise God, we get to choose. Do you know the freedom that's in that? The blessing that's in that, that we get to choose? We were singing a song earlier, something came up, and I was just thinking about this. This is the day that the Lord has made. Today, right now. Do you know what you are living in? You are living in the day that the Lord has made. He made today. Think about this. He made today. He makes every day. He made today. I'm living in the day he made. And you know what I've decided to do? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will. I will. Now what's involved? My will. Choice. Choosing. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will. I will. Every day you wake up, every day I wake up, and guess what we get to do? We get to choose. I choose to rejoice. I choose to be glad. I choose to be happy. I choose to laugh. Woo! I choose. It's a choice. See, now you can choose to be grumpy. You can choose to be crabby. You can choose to be negative. Or you can choose to be happy. You can choose to be glad. What do you want to choose? How many of you like to be around grumpy people? You like to be around grouchy people. You wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to go hang out with so-and-so because they are the grumpiest person I know. They just complain and complain and complain and murmur and gripe about everything. And I'm going to go spend my day with them. How many of you do that? How many of you like hanging out with grumpy people? How many of you would like to radically improve your day? Who do you spend most of your time with? In fact, who do you spend all of your time with? You. I tell you what, you can radically improve your day. Just choose. Choose to be happy. Choose to be glad. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will. Everybody say, I will. I will. I will. And then answer it. You will what? You will what? I will stay in bed and complain. I'll gripe about the weather. No, man. You get to choose. What a blessing that is. And you can set the course of your day. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. Choose life. In 2 Corinthians, let's go ahead and turn there. I made reference to this earlier, but I'd like to just go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. I want to read a couple verses before and after just because there's a few words in there I really like. Faith is a choice. You have faith. You can choose to walk in it or choose not to. 2 Corinthians, I said, did I actually say 5:7? And I got it right, praise God. Woohoo, happy day. You know, I point out my mistakes all the time. Every once in a while, I had to point out the things I do right. Hallelujah. So, verse 7 reads this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we walk by faith and not by sight. What do? We walk by faith and not by sight. Is there any choice involved in that? How many times do you have something thrown in front of you that, oh my gosh, it looks disastrous? You maybe get a report from a doctor. Who was I talking to? We were talking to a friend the other day. And they said, yeah, went to the doctor. And the doctor gave me their report. Now I'm left with, do I look at their report? Do I look at what the Father said? And they just went, oh, I choose. I choose to look at what the Father said. I choose to grab a hold of what the Father said. We walk by faith and not by sight. I tell you what, there's a lot of times in life, in the faith life, where even just walking is a choice. How many of you know I just made a choice? Two of them. To walk, start walking over there, and to stop here. Choices all the time. We have the freedom to choose. And faith is a choice. I choose faith. I choose faith. Turn and look at somebody and say, I choose faith. Hallelujah. We'll get to something at the end of this here today. But I want to read verses 6 and 8. So we are always confident. I like that. I just like the word confident. Anybody like the word confident? Who's confident? We. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, how many of you know when he talks about this, he's talking about that physical where we could reach out and hold hands, give each other a hug like that? Well, I can't do that right now, but there is a spiritual connection. He's living and abiding in me. But it's not like Peter, James, and John when they were walking along the banks of the Jordan River or across one of them lakes, you know. It's not the same. It's a little bit different. He's living on the inside of it, but I can't reach out and touch him. I can't do that. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I just want to share with something with all of you guys. When I kick the bucket and I leave this body, which is going to happen one way, shape, form, fashion, or another, believe you me, I am well pleased. I'm well pleased. I'm happy, man. Why? Because I'm present with the Lord. And I'm confident in that. I'm confident in that. How many of you confident in that? You know, so babe, if I go before you do, Caleb, if I go, just know, Dad is well pleased. I'm serious about this too. I am. I'm really serious about it. It's important. I'm well pleased. You will miss me, I know. It's true. They will. They'll miss me, it's true. I know that. But my golly, good golly, Miss Molly, I'm up in heaven. I'm well pleased. And like I heard a while back when Willis Dunnick passed away, happier than he's ever been. I'm a happy person, but when I hit heaven, I'm going to be happier than I've ever been. Amen? And I walk by faith. Not by sight. You know, even in that realm there, when someone passes away, how many times can sorrow and despair and gloom hit? Just dominate and overwhelm. No, man, I shared with my wife, I don't want to have a, when I die and they have a funeral, I don't want to have it in a church. I want to have it in a reception hall. And there's tables. And about 8 chairs at every table. I see lots of round tables and balloons and noisemakers. Because I got a song, I Ain't Never Gonna Grow Up. No way, never, never. I ain't never gonna, that's all there is to my song, and it just repeats itself. And I've been singing it for years, man, haven't I, babe? I mean, I've been singing that song for 35 years, maybe 40. I ain't never, go ahead and sing it with me. I ain't never gonna grow up. No way, never, never. I ain't never gonna grow up. That's it. I'm not gonna. See that? There's gonna be a part of me that just flat stays young. I'm gonna laugh a lot. Someday I might be 103 and never grow up. Amen? Hallelujah. How'd we get over there? Walk by faith. I'm well pleased. When I'm absent, I'm well pleased. But I walk by faith and not by sight. There's a choice involved. There's a decision in that. Now, if you would, please go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I just want to take this point, this thought, and go a little bit further with it. Just hammer at it a little bit more. Keep looking at it. Hebrews chapter 11. And as we do this, how many of you know Hebrews 11, it's the faith chapter, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. It's, you know, the hall of fame of faith, Hebrews 11. And as we read about Moses, I want you to look at something and see how many times was choice involved. And this is the faith chapter. How many times was choice involved? Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 23. By faith, okay, so this was done by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Wonder if there was any choice involved in that. And they were not afraid of the king's command. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused. Everybody say refused. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Was choice involved? Choice was involved. He chose faith, and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He just said, no, you won't call me that anymore. No, he refused. Wonder why it was such a big deal to him. Because he knew that he had a Hebrew mom. And he wasn't going to be called something anymore that he wasn't. You know, it'd be good for us to be refused to be called some things. Wow, we could meddle here a little bit. We could, couldn't we? I refuse to be called stupid. And I'm mostly talking to me because I'm about the only one I know that calls me stupid. How many of you out there going, yeah? You call yourself stuff that you would never let anybody else get away with. Anybody ever get mad at your spouse or somebody close to you because they keep saying stuff about them that you know to be wrong? Well, refuse that. I refuse. I refuse. Is choice involved? It sure is. If you're refusing something, you're choosing not to do it. By faith, he refused, okay, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing, everybody say choosing. Do you know this is still by faith? This is still by faith. He's making some choices by faith. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Anybody ever get tempted? Stupid question. Anybody in here who never gets tempted? We all do, don't we? I choose faith. I choose faith over sin. Temptation shows up, and I choose faith. I choose faith over sin. Amen? That temptation shows up. Okay, let's do this. We're kind of dabbling around here. How many of you have temptation come your way, and right now you could raise your hand and you could say, yeah, and I could say, if I wanted to, what that temptation is? How many of you can do that? Oh, come on now. We're going to stay here for a while. Because if you can't identify the temptation, maybe you're giving into it. Okay, so we're going to stay here a while. How many of you could, I'm not going to ask you to identify the temptation, okay? Does that make it a little easier, a little more comfortable? You will not have to get up here in front of the church and share with everybody what the devil tempts you with, okay? Won't make you do that. But how many of you can identify a temptation? You can identify. And when it shows up, when it sticks up its head, there it is. You know it, right? What do you do at that moment? I choose faith. I choose faith. I know your sin. I don't choose you. I choose faith. I choose to walk by faith. I choose to live holy. I mean, and it's really cool to make a choice at that time, because you know how many times you can shut down temptation? Real quick and real easy. I tried to do this illustration right now here. This is a big old hill, okay? This is just a great big old hill. Great big old hill. And right here on the top of the hill, there's a car sitting there. And that car is like balanced on top of that hill. It's almost perfectly balanced. And it could start rolling this way, or it could start rolling this way. Now, right here when it's at this place and it's perfectly balanced, could you stand there and hold that car and stop it from going this way or that way? I always get different people are thinking. It's not a trick question or anything. Could you stop it? Yeah. Why? Because let's say that car weighs 2,000 pounds. 1,000 pounds wants to go this way. 1,000 pounds wants to go this way. It's kind of balancing itself out. But if it gets going this way a little bit, now you got 1,001 pounds that wants to go this way. But you got 999 that want to go this way. So could you deal with that 1 pound? You could. Okay, now that's temptation. That's temptation. And you just identified for what it is. And it's right there. It's at the balancing point. Could you deal with it? Yeah, you could deal with it. Now what happens if that car gets going and you're down here about 30 feet down on the hillside? Get out of the way. Yeah, it's going to get a head of steam up. Where would you rather deal with temptation? Down here or up here? I'd rather deal with it up here. Amen. I'd much rather deal with it up here. You know, I keep getting ahead of myself this morning. I don't want to do that. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He made a choice. He made a choice. I choose. Verse 26, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. That's a mind-blowing verse. What position is Moses in Egypt? Is he in some low position, or is he in a position where he's got the potential to step into something incredible? He's got the potential to step into amazing riches. How rich was Egypt? Oh, it was radically rich. And he's got the potential to step into that. But he does this. Esteeming, is there a choice involved in that at all? There sure is. Esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Wow. I tell you what, I decided that the things of Christ are worth a lot more than the things of this world. And by faith, I'm choosing those things of Christ. I choose faith. I choose Christ. I choose His will. I choose His plan over those things that the world's trying to offer to me. Man, I tell you what, make that decision here. It's a lot easier than down here. Amen? Okay. All right. Esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now notice what he did. For he looked to the reward. What did Moses do? He looked to the reward. Is it okay to look to the reward? Can looking to the reward help you deal with stuff? How many of you love your job? You're so thankful. You're just so glad you get to go to work every day. I mean every day. There's never a day when you think about your job and you're not just thrilled to be there. How many of you could raise your hand and say, yeah? So here's my question. David raised his hand, praise God. Smart man. What keeps you going to your job, even on those days when you don't want to? How many of you could say it this way? You're looking to the reward. And what is the reward? The paycheck. Now, there might be some other things along the way. You might like some of your coworkers a lot, and hanging out with them is good. You know, all of that. But lots of times, the reward is that paycheck. Guys, it's okay to look to the reward with God. I like to think about heaven. And I don't do good works to get into heaven. Neither should you, because they'll never get you there. There's one thing and one thing only that'll get you into heaven, and that is Jesus Christ, faith in Him, having Him be your Lord and Savior. That's it. So I don't do good works to get into heaven. I don't do good works to get God to love me. How many of you are doing good works to get God to love you? If you are, knock it off. Because it's not going to work. He already loves you. You don't have to do good works to get Him to love you. How many of you know you don't have to bring your relationship with God down to a performance basis to get Him to love you? If I do good enough, He'll like me. And if I do really, really, really good, He'll love me. No, guys, He already loves you. I remember one of Breezy's friends, and she wasn't playing. I forget what sport it was right now. I don't know if it was volleyball or basketball, but she wasn't suiting up and that and everything. And a good friend of Breezy's, and I said, say, how come you're not playing? Oh, I can't suit up right now. I got in trouble. And I'm like, well, what'd you do? And she goes, I don't want to tell you. Well, why not? She goes, because I want you to like me. And I said to her, hey, I've already decided, and I like you. It doesn't matter what you've done. I'm not going to unlike you. I'm not going to unfriend you. I just ain't going to do it. You know what? God's already decided that He loves you. So don't go doing good works to try to get Him to love you. But now, do we do good works? Absolutely. Why? Because it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Because God works through us to love on other people. That's why. I do good works because I want God's will to be done here on this earth. I do good works because I want His kingdom to expand, not to get Him to like me. Amen? There's some things I refuse because they're better for the good works. There's some things I accept and do because it's better for the advancement of His kingdom. But I don't try to do things to get Him to like me. He decided a long time ago that He already likes me. He's amazing. Isn't that crazy? And He decided a long time ago that He already likes you. Turn to look at somebody and say, God's an amazing God. And I say, He likes you. He is. He's an amazing God. Amen. But guys, faith is involved so much. I got to hurry up. I'm going to jump a few notes here. I like this little phrase. I want to give it to you. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Say that with me, would you please? Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Let's say it a few more times. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Does faith rejoice? Absolutely it does. Does faith give thanks? Absolutely. Is faith glad? You can bet on it. Faith rejoices. And see, it's a choice. It's a choice. Habakkuk. Go in your Bible to the book of Habakkuk. It's close to the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. There it is. Habakkuk chapter 3. I've always enjoyed these verses of Scripture. You've heard me share before, those of you who have listened to me for any length of time at all. Habakkuk chapter 3, starting at verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, and though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stall. How's things going for this guy? It's not going good, is it? We could move it up today. Though the refrigerator won't run, and the car just got repossessed, and my boss wants me in early. You know, we could run down. We could make it today. You know, you got stuff in your life that could be just like this, don't you? What you do? What do you do? I love this here. Verse 18. Yet, I will. What's involved here? My will. Your will, your ability to choose, your freedom to choose, your blessing to choose, your liberty to choose. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me that I can choose this. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. I mean, this guy, do you think he feels like rejoicing? Everything's going wrong. What do we typically do when everything's going wrong? What do we feel like doing when everything's going wrong? Oh, praise you, God. Hallelujah. No, that is not what we feel like doing, is it? What do you do? Okay, back up. What do you feel like doing? You see, one of the things I want to throw out is faith or feelings. Which one do you choose? Now, I asked one time at men's breakfast, and I'm going to keep asking it, are feelings real? Are feelings real? Yes, they're real. Now, are feelings automatically necessarily based and birthed from truth? No. So I tell you what, when those feelings show up, what better you do? You better look at them before you just choose to go with them. Because lots of times they're not based in truth. They're not birthed in truth. They can be birthed in lies. So I choose faith. Don't just go with every feeling that comes along. How many of you ever found that'll get you in trouble? I used to just go by feelings. Any feeling that came along, just one time me and my friends, they were going to spend the night up at Crazy Horse, Evan Bennett and Paul Windsor, and I think Terry Forney was in on it. And just, I was so excited because I just didn't ever get to have friends stay with me, hardly ever. And I'm so excited, and we're riding in Evan's Jeep, and it's his dad's Jeep, and it had this foam inside the window, and then it had another piece of glass over that foam, and it would help the window from defrosting. Old school. And I'm just in there just having a good time. Bam! Punch and break that piece of glass in Evan's dad's truck. Just because I just went with my feelings. Turn and look at somebody and say, you just can't always go with your feelings. You just can't. Whether it's bouncing all over the place or whether it's being grumpy. You know, sometimes it's not the time to bounce all over the place. Yeah, feelings. One time, my dad had just died. And it was the first Christmas without my dad. And I'm up at Crazy Horse, and I got a song stuck in my head. You ever get a song stuck in your head? Well, this was the song. Are you lonely tonight? First Christmas without dad. What do you think my mom was going through? You know what? And finally, my sister Dawn said, would you stop singing that song? And I wasn't even, you know, I just going along with whatever came out of my mouth. So when Dawn said that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll stop singing that song. Amen. How many of you know we can't just always go with our feelings? Hallelujah. Habakkuk. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on the high hills. And then I love this. To the chief musician with the stringed instruments. Do you know what this little bit of scripture got turned into? It got turned into a song. It got turned into a song. Yet I will rejoice. Yet I will be glad. They're going to sing it. They're going to sing it over and over. They're just going to sing it. I will. Choice is involved. Faith is a choice. I'm going to go to two more verses of scripture. And then we're going to shut it down here today. I want you to take in your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And then 1 John chapter 5. Romans 12. And then 1 John chapter 5. Okay, now I know it's getting warm up here. Is it getting warm out there? Did I get a yes? Amen. Is it making you guys sleepy? That's what I thought. Did someone kindly say, it's not the sermon? Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 12, 1 John 5. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say through the faith given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. What's God dealt to you? In other words, what's God given to you? Faith. Do you have faith? Do you have faith? I want to ask that question again. Do you have faith?
Yes.
Why then do we often wonder, gee, I wonder if I have enough faith, but we don't wonder if we have enough doubt? It's really a good thing to think about. It's, you know, if we would just realize, I got faith. God has dealt to me the measure of faith. He's dealt it to me. Who gave you that measure of faith? God did. And do you know what he dealt you? A winning hand. He did. He dealt you a winning hand. You've got a winning hand. That is what God gave you. He did not give you a losing hand. Now, it does matter how you play your hand. It's important how you play your hand. And don't believe the devil's bluffs. He's bluffing. How many of you know the devil does not have the winning hand? But he tries to present himself to you like he's got a winning hand, doesn't he? But God has dealt to you the measure of faith. He has dealt to you a winning hand. What does faith do? Does faith grow? Does faith increase? Yeah, it does. It does. Okay, you have faith. Now, go with me over to John, 1 John chapter 5. How many of you got turned there already? I want to highlight two words here and make sure I don't miss them. But whoever and whatever. Whoever and whatever. 1 John 5, 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is what? Born of God. You believe that Jesus is the Christ. Then you are born of God. You are born of God. Go ahead and say that. I am born of God. Hallelujah. That old nature's dead. Died and gone. I have a new nature. I am now a child of God. I am born of God. I am born into the family of God. My daddy is God. That's my daddy. That's who I identify with. That's whose daddy, you know, is God your daddy? Is that who you identify? And you know, this is important for some people to grab a hold of this because some people really struggle with this. Their earthly father was cruel. Was mean, was unkind, was ungiving. And then they got born again, But guess who they still identify with as being their daddy? Their earthly father and not their heavenly father. They so grab a hold of how their earthly father was, they have trouble believing their heavenly father could be the way that he is. I don't know what happened in my case, but I don't wrestle with that. My heavenly father loves me. He thinks the world of me. He just wants to give me stuff just because he knows sometimes I like it. Do you know that's true? It's true. I like cars. I do. I like cars and I like motorcycles. For those of you that haven't heard this before, he has given Diana and I 14 cars. Holy buckets. Praise God. Hallelujah. He knows I like them. And he knows I'm not going to put them before him. But do you know God will just give you stuff sometimes because he knows you like it? He loves you. How many of you give your children stuff just because you like them and you want to give to them? You just want to bless them. I got birthdays coming up this coming month. I'm thinking about presents that I get to give away. My birthday's in August 19th, just so you all know. And I ain't never going to grow up. No way. My wife just said I'm turning 60. Uh-uh. I don't identify with that. By faith, I'm 23. Praise God. All right. He does. For whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. You know what that means? It means I love you. That means you love me. You love the person next to you. You love the person in the back row, the front row, the middle row. That just means you love people. Amen? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this love of God, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I just got to say this. I want to stick it in here. Can I share something with you? If the commandments of God are constantly burdensome for you, then I would say something's not working right. Something's wrong. Something's missing somewhere. And I this is a good possibility. People are probably doing to get God to love them. That's probably part of what's missing in that equation. This scripture says here that the commandments of God are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. Okay? Now, verse 4. For whatever is born of God. For whatever. I think it's interesting. The first time, it was whoever. I think every hand went up in this place and everybody could say, yeah, it's born of God. I'm born of God. Whoever. Now it's whatever. For whatever is born of God. Can I share something with you? I just like this thought. Did you know every promise of God is born of God? That's important, you guys. It's going to show up here in a little bit, but that's important. Every promise that God made, it's born of him. Every promise. When God gives you a promise, that promise is born of him. Whatever. Whatever. Whoever and whatever is born of God. Now, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That promise that God made you, that promise that is born of him, what does it overcome? It overcomes the world. It overcomes all the stuff that is coming against that promise. That promise can overcome. Overcomes the world. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What's the victory that's overcome the world? Our faith. Whose faith? Your faith? How many of you have world-overcoming faith? So what do you choose? Do you choose that faith? Or do you choose the feelings? Do you choose the faith? Or do you choose fear? Do you choose the faith? Or do you choose the promise of God? I choose faith. How about you? You know, and it can be like this. How many of you had a point in time in your life, and I'm thinking probably most everybody in here did, you had a point in your life where you were listening, and whether it was in a living room watching a TV, riding down the road listening to a radio, riding on a bus listening to people talk, at a crusade, wherever it was, at somebody's home, but you were sitting there listening to somebody talk about Jesus, right? Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was the grandparents. But they're sitting there talking about Jesus. And then a question got put to you. And that question was, do you know Jesus? Have you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? And there you are, faced with that question. How many of you can remember the time and the place when you were in a situation, something like that? See, I can remember mine. I'm right over there, 2.5 blocks. In a living room, watching TV. And Jimmy Swaggart was preaching. And he got to the end of his message, and I am not a Christian at that point. And I here's what I remember. I remember he is obviously saying something about Jesus, and I got down on my knees, a lot smoother than that, in front of the TV. See, I was faced with a question. I had a choice. And I chose Jesus. I chose Jesus. And I received him as my Lord and Savior. But you know what was involved? Choice. And I guarantee you something else is there. Faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm so glad I chose Jesus that day. I didn't really know what I was doing. Anybody else in here, you can relate to that? You didn't really know what you were doing when you said yes to Jesus. You just said yes. You said yes. You didn't fully get it. You didn't fully understand. You just said yes to Jesus. And wow, what a journey. What a ride. There's a verse of scripture in Colossians that says this. Just as you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so walk in him. Walk in him by faith. Walk in him by choice. What choices are presented to you today? What choices are presented to you in your life? What does the world present to you? What does the enemy present to you? And which one do you choose? I hope, I pray, that in the days to come, when you get presented with your stuff, you just go, I choose faith. I choose to believe God. I choose his promise. And whatever is born of God, and every promise of God, is born of him. It came from him. Amen. He's the origin of it. He's the promiser of it. And it's born of him. And every promise of God does what? Overcomes the world. You've already got what it takes. Amen. What do you choose? Fear? Faith. Feelings? Faith. Temptation? Faith. Worry? Faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and stand up. Wow. You know what I'm learning about me? It can take me a long time to stop preaching. I used to be good. I used to be able to quit within minutes. Now it's starting to take me half hour. I better start quitting at the beginning then. Amen. Hallelujah.